Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us together this fashion this evening. Oh God, thank you for thy faithfulness during the day, during the week. Thank you for protecting us from all the dangers, accidents, the storm, all the calamities went through that thou hast brought us here safely. We thank you. Pray for those who are not here, thy presence may be with them. Oh God, with us, oh God, as we open the word, thou may talk to each one of our heart in a special way from thy word, oh God. Through that thy name may be glorified and we may be encouraged. We thank you. We love you, God. In Christ's most precious name we ask. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The writer, Apostle Paul, sent this letter to the Hebrews believers who were converted from the Judaism to Christ. While some among them probably may not have full commitment to the Lord in faith, a possibility that some of these believers in Hebrew believers probably were undergoing persecution at that time. The chapter 12 starts with the very critical transition statement, therefore, is placed there as a conclusion to the section that began in chapter 10 of Hebrews, where the writer reminds the Hebrew believers that Christ's offering once for all sacrifice, which is superior to all the sacrifices of the Levitical system. Who are these clouds of witnesses in verse 1? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? They were the faith warriors in the previous chapter. In chapter 11, we read, they give witness to the value and blessings of living by faith for running the race. It is not the possibility of receiving praise from just observing those saints who are in heaven. Instead, the runner is inspired by the godly examples they set during the life on this earth. Those are the faithful warriors. If you would please join me to look to these faithful warriors mentioned in chapter 11 to see that we can learn what we can learn and equip our spiritual life as we run the race of faith. For the limitation of time, we just want to look at the life of Abraham this evening. Abraham, we know his background. Probably he was an idol worshiper, the family where he was living in the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans. But God appeared to Abram and asked him to move from there. We know the story. With obedience of faith, he left the home, his country, his people, not knowing the destination. But Abraham knew and trusted the God who asked him to move. Even though Abraham didn't know where to go, but he knew the God who asked him to move. There are two parts I see in this move. One is where to go and how to get there. We live in a time where we depend on navigation systems, GPS, and we know how critical it is that your navigation has to be updated. So the roads are updated where it turns left and right. I remember a few weeks back here in North Dallas, they closed one of the exits from the freeway, and the navigation didn't figure that out. A lot of people came like 40, 50 miles, and boom, they see it's blocked. The other day, one of my coworker has a Tesla car, so we went out for lunch, and he put the car on order coming back to the office. So the car has all the camera, left, right, front, back, everything. It's pretty good. We were on the middle lane, and you could see the other two lane and the front and back, everything. Came into an intersection where there was some construction, and one of the lane they closed. So the three lane became two lane. So we were on the, then at that time we were on the far left lane. So there was a truck on the right lane, and because he saw this road was closing there, he moved to the middle. But for some reason, he jumped into our lane, and the car with all the automatic system couldn't figure it out. He stepped on a sudden brake, otherwise we would run over by the truck. What I'm saying is the navigation system, how we man-made things, we depend on God when he lead us. Where Abraham didn't know where to go, how to go, but he trusted the God who guided him. Abraham is a great role model for us in so many ways. He was a faithful man of God, though he was human and stumbled many times. We know his story. But his relationship with God grew more and more intimate, and his faith was strengthened as he learned from both his victories as well as his mistakes, we know. Abraham was noted as a man who lived by faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We see the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 onwards. You don't need to turn there. We all very familiar with that. He was introduced as Abram there, later be called as Abraham. God asked him to go from your country and kindred and your father's house and so on. And God promised that we'll make you a great nation. Bless you and make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. Abraham was about 75 years at that time. And he followed God's calling and moved out of, and he headed towards the land of Canaan. We know the story. Later, the land of Canaan was hit by the famine. He goes to Egypt without God's direction. So he took his wife too, and we know the story with fear of losing his wife Sarah. He lied that she's my sister. But God was faithful to the promise he made to him, even though Abraham wasn't at times. After that, Abraham, back in the land of Canaan, again, he shows faith in the dependence of God by allowing his nephew, Lot, the dealing with Lot, that he allowed the Lot to pick the pasture land, the best piece of land and stuff in that. And later we see Abraham overcomes the armies were to rescue Lot from there. And God promises Abraham to offspring as a son and countless as a stars. In chapter 15 of Genesis, we see that. Abraham, with all this, Abraham fall into sin again. Yeah, he and Sarah, having grown impatient with God's timing, take the matters in their own hand. We know that a plan to bring about an heir through Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. And the consequences of that sin, disharmony in their life, God then predicts the hostility and trouble that Ishmael and his descendant will cause. All that we know. All through this life, Abraham's life, God remained faithful to him. And even though there are times that Abraham cannot control the issues, he and his obedience, but God stayed faithful to him. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, gives him a covenant of circumcision and to set apart unto God. God expects us to set apart that when he calls us. And in Psalms chapter 1, we read that, and all through that we see God ask us to set apart our life for him. Again, we see God's faithfulness displayed as Sarah gives birth to Isaac when she was about 90 years old, while Abraham was about 100 years old. God promises Abraham that his offering will be named through Isaac. God provides Hagar, and her son also promises that a great nation will come from that side also. We see that. But when we come to chapter 22 of Genesis, that's where I want to look a few minutes at, if you could focus. God tests Abraham, we know the story, by asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. How can one comprehend such a request by a loving God? He promises was predicted on the very life of the one whom God is asking now. Asking Abraham now to sacrifice. I mean, it's hard to understand that. I don't know how Abraham took that. But we see that Abraham's response was that, and when that God responded, verse 16 of Genesis 22, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. What we see in Abraham's life here is his trust in God, which developed his relationship with God. So trust in God, and then the relationship with God was developed. With all that's being said about Abraham, life of Abraham, I want to ask you, all of you as well as to me, there are two questions. Why did God ask Abraham to lay Isaac down? The promise God given to Abraham, his descendants will be blessed and all through that. But now, why did God ask Abraham to lay his Isaac down on that altar? Knowing Abraham's background, being part of a family of idol worshippers, in which the Lord asked him to leave all that and follow him, perhaps Abraham grabbed some idols, wealth, his servants, his wife, and now his son Isaac. Through his journey in the wilderness, we don't know. But is Abraham giving God the primary priority in that he has given Isaac to him as a promise? But now God is asking, lay his Isaac down. Perhaps Abraham wants to raise his son Isaac as a perfect son, injecting all the wisdom of a 100-year-old man to this little lad and to make him as a young lad and literally probably choke this child, right? We probably, today's term, we'll say like an helicopter parent who want to raise this child. If that's what Abraham's plan, and if that doesn't happen, how will Abraham look into that? But God wants Abraham to trust into him and realize that God is capable of taking and giving the life. God is the one who gave this life to this 100-year-old man to have a promise to give that. But God perhaps wants to Abraham to realize that it's the God who can give, God who can take, and God can give. So maybe that's why God tried to test Abraham to tell him to lay his Isaac down. If I ask myself and you all this evening, what's the idol in our own life. It's not like the idol we see back home in India where in the temples and stuff. Where we don't give priority to God, where God wants the priority in our own life. What does lay your Isaac down mean to you and to me? If God asks us what's priority in our life, that we don't give God's priority, rather something else. If God asks you to lay your Isaac down, how do we lay our Isaac down this evening? We saw Abraham's answer. The answer was simple faith. Abraham's faith. But the application is one of the hardest things for to accomplish, to give the only son that God has given to him in this old age. A simple faith is easy. We can believe in that. But the application to respond to that, to give that, we can contemplate and speak about many things, but our actions reflect what we truly believe. So we must truly trust God, which is built through the relation with God. Trust and relation goes hand in hand. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before us, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. We all are running a race. It can be short distance like a sprint, which need to run much faster, or a long distance of several thousand meters, where we need a lot of endurance to. Our hurdles, relays, and you name it. Throughout the race, we should look away from every other object and keep your eyes to the end point, to the final point, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can trust and commit our unknown future to the hand of a known God. Basically, we give control to God, the one who has been in control, which is our God. The same God Abraham trusted, the same God Abraham left everything and gone, the same God who provided to Abraham, the same God who asked to Abraham, but the same God who provided, he knew that. Lay your Isaac down. What's the idol in our life this evening, that we may lay everything aside and look unto God, give him primary priority in our life. As we sit in his presence a few minutes to talk to him, to pray, as we run the race in this on this earth, and we face challenges and things, I'm sure every one of us here has something that have burden in our heart that we want God to answer. We need help from God, that let's look unto him, and he may guide us in all our path. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author and he is the finisher. There is nowhere else we can look into it, right? He has the hope. And for the joy that's set before him, the joy is he has seen you and me to redeem us. That was the joy that he has seen, endure the cross, despising the shame. And today he sat down at the right hand of God and an intercede for us, an advocate. We have a place to go this evening. That's why we are here this evening, to us, a small group of people, call upon God. God may answer. May his name be glorified.